It's the center point of human existence. It changed the world, and it changed mankind's destiny. It's the cross of Christ. Here's Pastor Al Pittman.
The cross assures us that even in a pandemic, that Jesus is still the Son of God. The cross assures us that even in a pandemic, joy follows every bitter cup. The cross assures us that even in a pandemic, that we can continue to grow through fear and reverence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the cross assures us that Jesus Christ is still our healer.
Dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place. You are my dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place.
Thanks for being with us today for The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman from Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs. If you enjoy watching travelogues on television, then you'll enjoy the section of the Book of Acts we're currently studying. We are witnessing some of the great men of the Bible going out and sharing the gospel message with people who had never heard the message before. Paul has just been converted on the road to Damascus. What followed was an amazing display of the power of the Holy Spirit. Here's Pastor Al in Acts chapter 9.
Sometimes we get impatient with one another or whatever and want to point out one another's faults. If you have a complaint against each other, forgive each other. How? As the Lord has forgiven you. As the Lord has come alongside you, come alongside someone else. And this is what Barnabas did for Paul, and it encouraged him. And notice here the Hellenists, we get down here in chapter 9, verse 29, the Hellenists are disputing with Paul. Now, it's interesting. The Hellenists were his friends. The Hellenists were his homies. And here they are disputing with Paul. In other words, his friends have become his enemies, and those he thought were his enemies are now his friends. Amazing how the Lord does that. They're now his enemies. You know, they're plotting to kill Paul. But the Bible tells us that this is not something that's strange, because Jesus Christ, when you claim Christ, I don't care who your friends or who you used to run with, but when you claim Christ, those who you thought were your friends will become your enemies many times. And it's natural. You know, sometimes we want to make sure everybody is happy with us. That's not the way you live the Christian life. In fact, Jesus warned us. He told us in Matthew chapter 10. He said, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." And the Lord divides people, divides family members. Not that God wants division, but when you embrace Christ, those who were once your friends will become your enemies. Why? Because they have a different spirit. The world cannot be a friend of the church, because the sword of the spirit, cuts way too deep. And you show me a church, or you show me an individual, a Christian, that is a friend in the sense that they're of the spirit of the world, and I'll show you somebody who has put away their sword. I show you somebody who's not preaching the whole counsel of God's word. Because even in that relationship, at some point, you're going to have to, you know, bring up the fact that you are devoted to Jesus Christ. You're going to bring up the word of God, and they're going to be offended by it if they're of another spirit, if they're of the spirit of this world. Not that we shouldn't share the word with them or whatever, but, you know, they're not going to be receptive unless you're willing to dilute the word or to put away the sword of the spirit. And a lot of churches, unfortunately, have done that. They're not teaching the word of God anymore, because they might offend somebody. Jesus said, "I didn't come to bring peace." Wow. We have peace with God through faith in him, but he came to bring a sword. To embrace Christ, it divides people. In John chapter 15, Jesus said, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." Amen. And that is the reality. And that's the reality that Paul is dealing with here. Hey, the Hellenists, man, he was standing when the Hellenists were stoning Stephen to death. And Paul was in complete agreement. But now that he's come to Christ, a sword has fallen and has divided him from his so-called friends. Now his friends want to kill him. Jesus said, "They will hate you because of our identity with Christ." Now, those whom Paul once thought were his friends have now hating him and they want to kill him. And so Paul escapes from Jerusalem with the help of those he once called enemies who are now his friends, and that is the believers, the church. The Bible says that he flees Caesarea, and he goes down, and they send him from Caesarea to Tarsus. Now, Caesarea, just to give you an idea of how far he had to go, is 75 miles or 120 kilometers from Jerusalem. And then, of course, from there, he went back to his homeland where he was born. He was born in Tarsus, Saul of Tarsus. Again, Tarsus is in the southeastern region of modern-day Turkey. That's where Saul, or Paul, the apostle, was from. And it's 357 miles from Jerusalem, or 579 kilometers. So it's a long way he had to go, but they felt it was best for him, once they got to Caesarea, to send him on to his hometown, to Tarsus, and so he ended up there. And then after he leaves, the Bible says in verse 31, then the churches throughout all Judea and Galilee, Samaria, had peace and were edified. Interesting. It just tells us the extent to which Paul was agitating folks and stirring up stuff against the church, that once he was out of the country, things kind of went back to peace. And a little bit, you know, the persecution was eased up off, if you will, off the church, because Paul was the key instigator in the persecution of the church. Tells us the extent to which he agitated others and was antagonistic against the church before his conversion to Christ. And then in verse 31, the latter part, it says there that, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. I love that. Don't just glance over that. Understand there's two, if you will, two necessary aspects of church and personal growth that we find there. One is the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 14. Verses 26 to 27 says, in the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge, the children of God. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. Amen. The fear, the reverence of the Lord. It's not like I'm afraid of God. Oh, God's going to get me. No, it's reverence of the Lord, respect, honor of the Lord. Godly confidence, when you think about it, is evidence of reverence. And insecurity can be evidence of rebellion against the Lord. When we're walking in rebellion against God, guess what? Your life doesn't get more secure. It becomes more insecure. But when we revere the Lord and honor and respect him, man, there's a holy confidence and boldness. It's like God gives you a backbone and you can stand up against the enemy. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is strong confidence. The second thing we see in the church, the necessary aspect of the church that we find there in verse 31, the latter part, is the comfort of the Holy Spirit. The comfort of the Holy Spirit. We need the presence and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Bible says he is our comforter. Jesus said, I will send you another comforter. Therefore, the Bible tells us and warns us, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 tells us, by being bitter and acting in a carnal way, we can quench the Holy Spirit, grieve the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, David prayed in Psalm 51. He said, Lord, take not your Holy Spirit from me. Wow. David longed for that intimacy and that closeness with the Spirit of God. We need the Holy Spirit. Through the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, the church grew. We need the Holy Spirit. Why? Because only in communion with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, are we able to experience what I call divine delight. Isn't it wonderful how the Lord refreshes your soul? When you're in fellowship with the Lord, how he gives you his strength and he refreshes your soul, you have his joy and his peace. You have a sense of his love in your life. It's a heavenly delight. You can't find that anywhere else. It's divine delight. The Bible says in Psalm 194, verse 19, in the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comfort delight my soul. In the multitude of my anxieties, my comfort comes from your presence, Lord, comes from your spirit. As followers of Christ, we cannot know God's comforting presence while at the same time possessing a carnal, irreverent mind and heart. And so, with the reverence, the fear of the Lord, and with the comfort of the Holy Spirit, the church grew. It grows corporately that way, and personally in your life, you cannot grow without the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. We need those two to grow. In fact, the Bible says they didn't just grow a little bit, they multiplied.
Pastor Al has more to share with us from Acts 9, so stay tuned.
As we roll into 2021, it's good for you to review your finances. But what about your spiritual investments? Pastor Al Pittman's book about Revelation puts a bright light on a wise plan.
There's a lot of people doing works in the name of the Lord, but there's to glorify themselves and not God. And our works will be tried by fire to see if they're of gold and precious metals or if they're of wood, hay, and stubble. God knows the real motivation of your heart.
Revelation, Earth's Final Chapter, is a book that will take you through the amazing final words of the Bible. Remember, you can still adjust how your life ends.
And he invites everyone to his wedding feast. The question is, and mankind would have to ask every one of us here today, have we accepted his invitation?
Get your copy of Revelation, Earth's Final Chapter, by Al Pittman, where you buy books, or online at cwccs.org.
Oh, this is what we've been waiting for, this glorious day, return of Jesus Christ to the earth.
Now to wrap up our message in Acts chapter 9, titled The Transformed Life, here's Pastor Al.
Now verses 32, 35, the Bible says, "Now it came to pass, as Peter went through all parts of the country, that he also came down to the saints who dwelt in Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, and Aeneas, who had been bedridden 8 years and was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus the Christ has healed you, or heals you. Arise and make your bed. Then he arose immediately. So all who dwelt at Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord." Now, so the narrative changes in Acts from Paul's back in Tarsus, back to Peter, and stays on Peter for a little while as we continue through the book of Acts. But he goes down, Peter goes down to, I'm going to call it Lydda, or Lydda, and it's about 9 miles east of Joppa. Joppa is still there. You can go and see the ruins of Joppa. The city of Joppa is there. Some people pronounce it Jaffa, or some pronounce it Joppa. But Joppa is still there. It's located on the Mediterranean coast. It's 35 miles northwest of Jerusalem. And then Sharon, it mentions there, the scripture talks about the fields of Sharon, the rose of Sharon, which is actually a flower of Sharon, mentioned in the Song of Solomon. But Sharon, this place Sharon, was right next to, close in vicinity to Lydda. And so he's down in that area, and there God uses Peter to heal a man by the name of Aeneas. And a man was paralyzed, as the Bible says, for 8 years, and Peter declared to him, Jesus, the Christ, the anointed one, that's what Christ means, the anointed one heals you. I love that. This is the one who heals you. It's Jesus, the Christ. Peter, listen, he did not take the glory upon himself. In other words, he didn't touch the glory as Uzzah did. Remember Uzzah in the Old Testament in 2 Samuel chapter 6. Uzzah, when the oxen stumbled and they had the Ark of the Covenant on the cart, and it shouldn't have been on the cart in the first place, and the oxen stumbled and the Ark of the Covenant began to go to one side, and they were bringing it up to the tabernacle that David had prepared for the Ark of the Covenant. And Uzzah reached his hand out to steady the Ark of the Covenant, and the Bible says God became angry and killed him. Why? Because he was touching the glory. What I love about Peter here is Peter says, listen, in the name of Jesus Christ, Jesus heals you. Not I healed you. In other words, he refuses to touch the glory. Amen. You want to last long in ministry? Don't touch the glory. Give God the glory. Give him the glory for everything that is being done or done through your ministry. We start thinking it's about us. We're in trouble. I was sharing at the men's conference this morning about Uzziah, who reigned over Judah for 50 years. And he was a great king in the eyes of the people. But the Bible says when he became successful, when he became strong, he turned away from the Lord. And sometimes we want the glory. We want to think it's all about us. Oh, people are coming to my church because it's all about me. No, it's about the Lord. Don't you touch the glory. Because God will get rid of you and make two just like you. Amen. Don't touch his glory. Give God the glory in all that he has done in your life. It's not because of your education, not because you're so cute and so handsome. It's because God has been merciful towards you. Make sure you give God the glory. Amen. Paul said, I will boast in the Lord. I will boast in him and in the Lord alone. Don't boast in yourself. So Peter says, listen, Jesus the Christ, Christ means the anointed one, heals you. And the man was healed. Make up your bed. Don't stay in that same place. Amen. What a great lesson for us in our life. If the Lord touches your life, don't stay there. It would have been foolish for Aeneas to go back and stay in the same place. You've been healed. Move forward. Amen. And as a result of him being healed, many people came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Peter's statement still applies to our lives today. Whether emotionally, mentally, physically, or spiritually, Christ is our healer. Christ is the one who heals you. Jesus Christ heals you today. Whatever your situation is, the Lord is the one who heals you. Man cannot heal you. The government can't heal you. The government can't deal with you, can't save your soul. Only Christ can heal us. Same statement applies to us. Whatever we may be facing right now, emotionally, mentally, physically, or spiritually, Christ is our healer. Even in death, people go, well, you know, I prayed and that person died. Even in death, he is our healer. Well, why do I say that? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. And Paul the Apostle would later write, he would say, we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Death has no victory over us as believers. Christ is our healer and our ultimate healer when we pass from this life to the next. The healing of Aeneas resulted in many coming to Christ, and I thought about this. Our healing should be the result of others coming to Christ as well. When God healed our lives, when he saved us, when he has turned things around for us, when he has done a great work in our life, we should be light and we should be salt in the world and we should attract other people to Jesus Christ so that when he come to you and go, man, what happened to you? Give God the glory. Let me tell you what God did for me. Amen. And so others came to Christ because of his healing. Others should come to Christ because of our healing as well. God reminded Israel, and he reminds us even to this day, as he said to Israel in Exodus 15, for I am the Lord who heals you. You know, that's something we need to remember. Yes, even in this pandemic, the reality is that God is our healer. We look to him. I'm not saying you shouldn't take your medicine and all that. I'm not saying that at all. But remember that knowledge for the medicine and for the cure or whatever, it comes from the Lord. He is our healer. Give God the praise. Give him the glory. In conclusion tonight, I want to go back and say, well, what have we learned tonight? And there's basically four things, I think, that I want to leave you with, and I pray that you would contemplate and think about and maybe discuss later on this week. And the first one is this, is that we should preach Christ as the Son of God. And you say, well, that's pretty obvious, you know, preach Christ as the Son of God. But you know what? What Christ are we preaching? Are we preaching Christ as the Son of God, the Son of nature, who is naturally the Son of God, who is equal with God, or are we preaching another Christ? That's really a question every church, I think, should ask themselves today. Are we preaching Christ as the Son of God, as deity? And then secondly, the second thing I think we need to give attention to, I think we learned tonight, is that joy follows every bitter cup. You may be going through a difficult time right now, but the Bible promises that there will be joy. Paul said, I want to finish with joy. Why? Because with every bitter cup that the Lord gives to us, through our brokenness, God grants us and blesses us with joy. There's joy with it. Yeah, weeping may endure, like the scripture says, for a night, but joy does come in the morning. Remember, God wants you to have joy. He doesn't just give you the cup and then say, well, that's just it. Your life is just full of bitterness. He gives us joy with that cup as well. I love what David says in Psalm 23. He says, you know, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I love that. In my mind, I have this image of the fact that no matter what I'm going through in life, if I look behind me, I don't have trouble following me. I have goodness and mercy following me, and goodness and mercy will overtake me. I will have joy no matter what cup the world has given to me or what cup the Father has allowed me to have in this life. There is joy that follows every cup, every bitter cup. Here's the third thing I want you to think about, and that is this. It's simply that fear, reverence, and comfort of the Spirit equal growth. They are one in the same. When you fear the Lord, you know what? You have the comfort of His presence. If you don't fear the Lord, you know what? You're not going to have His Spirit. You're not going to have His presence. You're not going to have His strength. You're not going to have His power. But fear and reverence, honoring the Lord, and equal with the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it equals growth in a believer's life. You show me a believer who's growing, I'll show you somebody who reveres the Lord, and I'll show you somebody who walks in the Spirit. So make sure that is something that you're doing in your life, that you're reverencing God, that you're walking in the Spirit, that you might continue to grow. Yes, even during the pandemic, you know, we ought to be growing in the Lord. And here's the fourth thing, and that is simply this, that Christ is our healer. Christ is our healer. He is still our healer. He's not on vacation, you know. He is not practicing social distancing. He is there with us. Amen? He is there with us no matter what we are going through. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He is still my healer. He still can get me through whatever I'm facing right now. For some of you, it's unemployment. For some of you, you know, it's tension in your home tonight. Christ is your healer. You get on your knees, you pray, you ask God to help you, and He is there. He will be with you. If you call upon His name, He will answer. I thought about those four things here in the conclusion. I thought, wow, communion speaks to every one of them. Because the cross assures us that even in a pandemic, that Jesus is still the Son of God. The cross assures us that even in a pandemic, joy follows every bitter cup. The cross assures us that even in a pandemic, that we can continue to grow through fear and reverence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the cross assures us that Jesus Christ is still our healer. He loves you tonight.
We hope that you've been blessed and challenged and encouraged by today's message. If you'd like to hear this message again, you can listen, watch, or download with a simple click. Just go to cwccs.org and click the Messages tab at the top of the page. And while you're checking out our website, be sure to download the Calvary Worship Center app for your device and take Pastor Al wherever you go. The Dwelling Place is also available at oneplace.com, and you can find One Place on the internet and with a search on your Alexa or Google Play-enabled device. You can also share a prayer request with us, and we'll count it a privilege to pray for you. Just send an email to amen@cwccs.org. Let me also remind you in closing that The Dwelling Place is a listener-supported outreach. We count on your support to keep this radio ministry going and growing. If you'd like to join our support team with a one-time gift, or on a regular monthly basis, you can do so at our website, cwccs.org, or by texting the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. If you live in the Colorado Springs area and are looking for a church home, or you'll be visiting the area in the future, we invite you to come join us for worship here at Calvary Worship Center at either our Creekside or Westside campus. You'll find directions and the current schedule we have for limited access live services at cwccs.org. And no matter where you are, you can watch our services via live streaming right there at our website. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and join us next time for The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman, presented by Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Dwelling Place.